our work on developing triploid maples. And so if you're, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the issues of Norway and Amur maple. So Acer platinoides, Norway maple, Acer genala, or Acer tetericum subspecies genala. And there's a wide distribution, particularly for Norway, both in western and eastern North America. And you can see the distribution of Amur maple is quite significant. And there has been legislation to ban Norway maple in at least in Massachusetts and I think in another couple of states. And so this has led to a really precipitous decline in the marketability and in sales of these numbers are actually for Norway maple. So in my chats with some of my industry partners, Robinson Nursery, Carlton Plants, and some others, Hans Nelson and Sons, they've seen as much as a 90% decline in sales of Norway maple over the last decade. And certainly there's other factors, you know, land managers and urban foresters going away from maples in general to some extent. But certainly the invasiveness of these species has led to their decline. So we want to develop triploids. There's also, I want to recognize a couple other labs. We're using mainly developing sterile triploid or developing triploids that we hope are sterile. In my program, Dr. Rainey's lab at North Carolina State is doing a lot of ploidy manipulation, and I believe they have triploids of probably both of these species at this point. I know Amur. And also Alan Smith at University of Minnesota has done some really great mutagenesis work using gamma radiation, and so he does have some sterile triploids that are being evaluated, I believe out at J. Frank Schmidt as well. So we're not the only ones doing this. So there's a number of horticulturally significant or significant horticultural crops that are seedless, and the basis for sterility in these crops is triploidy. It's rare. There are fewer examples in woody ornamentals, but Dr. Rennie released a Chastity, which is a triploid trumpet vine that's highly sterile. They also did some really great work with Hypericum androsimum. Olson et al. Released three triploid cultivars of Hypericum androsimum that were all highly sterile. So, again, we wanted to do the same thing with maples, so we went the route of using a Rizalin. We prepared 150 micromolar solutions that were semi-solidified with 0.55% agar. We applied drops over five subsequent days at the first true leaf stage. And here's the token photo of the PI actually doing a little bit of science with my partners there. And so this is what a seedling looks like. So the toothpicks here means that I have applied 2 days of the application of a Rizalin. And you can see it's really quite tiny, but there's a little meristem, and so it lends itself pretty well to application. And that was a Norway seedling. So I'm just going to show you a little bit of data on the Norway maple tetraploid induction. So the blue bars here are the diploids, and this is the percentage of treated Norway maples at each ploidy level. We did have a decent amount of mortality, so these numbers are not going to sum to 100%. But you can see we had the gray bars here are mixoploids or cytochimeras. The black bars are the number of homogeneous or solid tetraploids, if you will. So you can see we had as low as 4 to 5%, and as much as 35%. And these are, so this is Crimson King in the center, which is a red leaf form of Norway maple. And this says Jefferson Street and Bridgeway Street, and we literally just went out to these respective streets in Corvallis, and I believe both of these were probably Emerald Queen is the genotypes there, but we're not certain. So the process and timing on this, you know, these are not super fast. They're not as fast as chrysanthemum, if you will. But so we developed the tetraploids in 2011 of Norway, 2012 for Amur maple. After 1 year, we confirmed ploidy level, and we did have a number of reversions, mostly with the mixoploids reverting back to diploids. The Amurs actually started flowering in 2014, so pretty quick, actually. 2 years from seed, they started flowering. Norway has been more reticent to flower. So I think at this point we've had five of our tetraploid genotypes that have flowered, and we've been able to collect seed from one of those. Only one tetraploid red foliage genotype has flowered, and it's at no seed. In 2014, we did start trying hand pollinations because these were in 10-gallon containers at the time. So we pollinated, as you can see, 165 flowers in 2014, 828 in 2015. Maple flowers are fairly delicate. Our success was relatively low. You can see, 56 in 2014, 78 in 2015. So not very high seed set. You can't build a breeding program on, 120 some maple seedlings or maple seed. So we decided to field plant them. We planted an isolation block or a pseudo-isolation block in 2015, allowed them to open pollinate, and we got over 4,000 seed in 2016 from, and I haven't mentioned, but Trident maple is in here as well. So we actually had tetraploids of Trident maple out as well. So this is what our isolation block looks like. The orange are Norway maples, and this are all tetraploids. These were actually chip-butted by J. Frank Schmidt, and we brought back trees that were, really, really big and heavy to move around. So these were branched bald and burlap trees or bare root trees that we planted here. But the next row here, row 72 and 73, were Trident maples, and the filled in boxes are the plants that flowered in 2016 from which we collected seed. And a myrrh maple is here. You can see we had quite a few. We had five of those that flowered. And then down here in row 76, I didn't do my fancy little circles here, but that's where we actually had interplanting of elite diploids from the nursery industry as well as a number of our tetraploids. So we had a pretty decent flowering in 2016, and it's going to be better the next year. So just showing you, there is apparent reduction in germination. We didn't do a formal study to compare diploids with tetraploids in 2016, but germination is low. You can see the maximum germination we got from 74-19 was 14%. So again, while we didn't do a formal study to compare, this is much lower than you would expect to just go out and collect from a diploid, Acer, Platinoides, or Genala. I will point out, too, that we had nearly 800 seeds from a tetraploid of Trident maple, Acer bergerianum, and no seed germinated. And these, doing cut tests, they were poorly filled, and we saw no apparent embryos inside. So it could be, I think Dr. Lanart's going to talk about sterile autotetraploids, and it could be that in Trident maple we have done our work. We did genome size, flow cytometry to assess ploidy level, and we actually got in Acer genala, and these are plants that were collected off of a tetraploid as the female, we did recover diploids, triploids, tetraploids, and pentaploids. In Acer platinoides, we did not recover any diploids, but we recovered triploids, tetraploids, and pentaploids. And I'm not showing means or ranges here, but I'm certain that there are aneuploids in this range, in these groups, but we haven't confirmed that cytologically, but the flow cytometry data does suggest it. And we, Jason Lattier did really lovely chromosome spread on one of our triploid Acer genalas, and this is using this chromosome counter. You can see it does have 39 chromosomes, so I got to give him some props. It's a nice spread. So these are the results of the ploidy levels of the seedlings collected from these open pollinated tetraploids in our field. So this is a myrrh maple, and you can see we had the numbers here are the ploidy level, the number of seedlings, and then the percentage of the seedlings that we analyzed. I will point out that there were a lot of seedlings that we threw out. Okay, so my field, I followed Chad Finn in his Rubus breeding program into this field, which is also susceptible and is a host of verticillium. So this field is infested pretty good with verticillium, I believe. We haven't confirmed that yet, but a lot of these seedlings had symptoms suggesting verticillium infection, and so we didn't even screen those. We had a lot of triploids here, so we were basically just throwing out anything that looked weak. So 84% triploids. We had these two weird diploids that were derived from a tetraploid. We had 12% were tetraploid, and 3% were pentaploid. And there, it was variable among the five different tetraploid genotypes of Acer genala. as low as 33% triploids, as high as 95% triploids derived from these tetraploid genotypes. In Norway, it was even higher in the percentage of triploids from the tetraploids. So we had 89% triploids, 9% tetraploids, and we had a single pentaploid that was derived from those tetraploid, or that tetraploid. It was a single Norway that flowered in 2016. We have some variable phenotypes that have come from these plants, and this is a single Norway maple parent that gave rise to, you know, a nice chartreuse new growth on this guy growing in the greenhouse. We have, you know, lovely sort of in the vein of Deborah, if you're familiar with cultivar Deborah, sort of nice red new growth, and you can see it actually has these red petioles down here. They're really vigorous, so these are 8-month-old seedlings at this point. This is Tyler Hoskins. He's not a giant, but he's also not 3 feet tall. So they're about 8 feet tall at this point, and they're growing like fools. You can see behind him, it's a little challenging, but the Janalas have actually branched, and they're going along. The Norways, only a couple of these have actually branched at this point. Janalas, again, similar variability in genotype, so nice red new growth. We've got shiny sort of maroon. We've got some chartreuse in there. They're looking pretty good. So what did we keep out of these plants? So the total number of plants that we've kept for further evaluation is 129. You can see 76 Acer Janala and 53 Acer Platinoides. So of the total seed lot that we collected in 2016, we've saved 3.2%. And if you look at the number of seedlings that we screened, we kept a third of them, which is obviously much higher than you would for a normal breeding program, but they're triploid maples, so, you know, we're keeping them. Just some observations. Obviously, hand pollination is very time-consuming. Maples have very delicate flowers. I think was a major part of our lack of success was just damaging flowers. So over the 2 years of pollination, 134 seeds versus planting an isolation block and allowing them to open pollinate, we now have 110 triploids. Like I said, we got about 4,000 seed in a single year. So there were 84% and 89% triploids from these two species, respectively. So it seems apparent that is all due to outcrossing with the diploids, but that is not. Perhaps I might be reaching a little bit on that assumption, but can we use those as the percentage of triploids as a proxy for the outcrossing rate on these species? Perhaps, but more work needs to be done there. What complicates maples in general? This is a really messy box that shows you the variable reproductive breeding systems in maples from duodicogamous monoecy, heterodicogamous androdiecy, heterodicogamous triecy, dicogamous subdiecy, and diecy. So it is really wacky with the variable nature of sex expression in maples. We have observed ourselves that between two different years, a single genotype can be highly variable in what we recorded as its sex expression. And so this is the data from 2016 looking at a snapshot of these genotypes. And so if you look at those breeding systems, what a lot of them mean is that depending on the time of the year, it's going to have different sex expression. So those hetero-duodicogamous triecy means it's going to be male, female. It can do that over the year. So these data sort of don't mean a whole lot other than on this day, this is what we recorded as the sex expression. So it's a little messy. We also, I teach plant ID, and literally the first thing that we say to students when we come to a plant, does it have oppositely arranged leaves? If yes, okay, then we'll see if it's a maple. If it has alternately arranged leaves, it's not a maple. So we have alternately arranged maples now. So both of these were in Acer Janala, so weird. So we have discarded hundreds of seedlings. There are parents that are dying or dead in the field. There is some evidence of seed transmission of verticillium and other crops. So it does seem we've got perhaps a means for selection. And once we get larger numbers of triploids, I will be field planting them in infested fields. Thank you very much. I actually have 1 minute, and this is Edie. She's not a triploid. But the Cotoneaster is actually an inner subgeneric triploid. So I'm happy to take any questions. Some. Yes. So the question is, could we increase the rate of triploid recovery by isolating interploid parents? Is that correct? So isolating a tetraploid with a diploid parent? Absolutely. This was just throwing them all in the field, and they're now there. But certainly we have lots more tetraploids that I'm not going to field plant, and we probably will grow them in larger and larger containers and probably do an isolation block, not in ground, but just in containers. So, okay, we actually are out of time, so we're going to move along, but thank you very much.